Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Monday night in downtown St. Louis, it is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Joel Pott sitting in for Matt Pauly tonight and tomorrow night. Glad you're with us as we wrap up 2024. That is hard to believe, first of all. It's just crazy to me to think that here we are in the last couple of days of 2024. It feels, in some regards, this is probably always the case. In some regards, it feels like, man, it was just, it was so long ago when we were, you know, at New Year's Eve. But then in other regards, it's like, man, where did that year go? That's the overwhelming feeling to me, is where did that year go? Well, we are pleased to have our next guest. He is Daniel Esteve from Fox 2 and KPLR 11, and literally just got off the air. He just did sports, and now he's going to come and talk some more sports with us. So always a pleasure, Daniel. Thank you so much.
Joe, it's always a pleasure to chat with you guys. Are you kidding? I'd be on set and call into this show if I could. So
why have we not made that happen?
You guys, it's great. I mean, honestly, I'll walk back on set right now. I think the show's still going on. It'll be great.
just walk right across. I'm sure they wouldn't mind at all.
I'm sure I could get a couple more intriguing guests than me for your guys' show. I think Mandy Murphy or even Haley Fitzpatrick would be a much better guest. But I appreciate you guys scratching that Fox 2 barrel for me.
Of course. And glad to do it. And as we wrap up this 2024 year, but you were just having some Mizzou highlights, and I know I told you we'd talk some Mizzou, so let's definitely start there, because I do think this was a really nice way to end this season for the Missouri Tigers.
I think it really just solidified the fact that we have taken that step. I don't want to say entered a new era, because we've had so many great eras in Mizzou football history, but we've really taken that next step in the pedigree of the program. When you look back to that South Carolina game, and this is what I alluded to on the show at 6, was a super disappointing way to essentially close out any hope of a playoff run, right? And at that point, you're thinking, well, Mizzou came in with so much hype, Cotton Bowl champs last year. They really felt like they couldn't get off the ground. You go into Texas A&M, you get destroyed. You go into Alabama, you get destroyed. How would this team respond? And it just feels like maybe if the talent or, you know, the timing didn't work out, at least you could stand on the pedigree of the program as the season came to a close. And you saw that not in the Mississippi State game or the Arkansas game, which you certainly saw shades of it, but you saw it multiple times in the Iowa game, responding, what, 3 different times from a touchdown or more deficit to come back and tie or retake a lead. It was incredible to watch.
And that is it. I think that's a great point. I was talking to one of our other producers here this afternoon before he left, and he said, you know, you get down in that game 24-14, and how many Mizzou teams in the past are just like, well, you know, we gave it a shot. That was kind of it, and they didn't. And then just to make that point, they stuff Iowa on a fourth down drive to essentially win that game.
And I think that was the best part for all the Mizzou, you know, traditionalists out there is, yes, of course, it's a great story for us in St. Louis to see Brady Cook shine. He's the game MVP. It's awesome. But Mizzou's peak time, whenever you look back throughout history, man, that Mizzou defense is something you always look at. And it's not ironic that 2013, 2014, the last back-to-back 10-plus win seasons, I mean, Gary Pinkel's defense was stout and honestly played a role in me even discovering the University of Missouri as a potential school to attend. So credit to that defense, credit to this defense. It was just poetic all the way around.
That's pretty cool that the Tigers, the Mizzou football brought you there. That's pretty cool. But
Shane Ray and Marcus Golden,
yes,
quite literally watching them destroy Oklahoma State. And that wasn't a great defensive game, but they solidified it, right? 2013, I believe. I was watching the game, and I had never heard of Mizzou. But I was like, oh, man, this could be fun. Let's Google it. And sure enough, was able to go and visit and ended up being the one.
Wow, that is really cool. Daniel Esteve with us from Fox 2 and KPLR 11. Let's talk a little bit, though, about Brady Cook and the, I guess, the legacy that he leaves. A St. Louis kid, obviously, who now is number three all-time on the passing yards list at Mizzou, more than 9,000 in his career, really did solidify a very nice legacy as he finishes off today.
A super nice legacy. And I don't think, you know, the stats really tell that whole story. I've been seeing a ton of people throughout the he only lost five games or whatever it was throughout his entire tenure as a starting quarterback at the University of Missouri. But for me, again, you kind of got to look at the overarching theme of where the program was and how he left it. And this, I think you have seen a bit of appreciation for on social media and just people I've talked to. But I'd like that to be at the forefront because it was shaky waters. I mean, you talk about Eli Drinkwitz before that 11-win season, taking down Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, he couldn't get over 500. And, of course, the focus is going to go on the head coach and the quarterback. Bottom line, that's just the way it works. And Brady Cook received so much scrutiny, me included at some points, thinking, hey, is this the guy that's really going to get you over the hump? And for him to stay resilient and then perform the way he has in some of the moments that he's been given, I mean, it's just awesome. Like a really, really cool story for a kid who was obviously a diehard Mizzou fan growing up. I think you really can't script something better. Now, it's on the program and the people who come after him to make sure that all those efforts, all that scrutiny Brady Cook took isn't in vain because, where again, he took the program and left the program is in a much better place. You just got to make sure that trend continues up.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to not just Mizzou, right? That's the college sports world in general. Certainly the college football world is oftentimes you don't know what you are going to get from year to year. And I know we've already seen some incoming guys into the Mizzou program. And that is where it sort of teeters on what you said right off the top is that are we entering, like, what kind of era are we entering here? And it oftentimes, or where it's going to be, predicated on what comes next.
Oh, 100%. And it's an interesting strategy that also Brady Cook plays a huge role in. I mean, we've been seeing Mizzou to the Lou, right?
Yep.
Or, you know, get the St. Louis kids, get them to Mizzou. We need to keep our hometown talent. Brady Cook is obviously the epitome of that, right? Coming from St. Louis, he comes, he stays, and then you get Luther Burden to come back. You get Toriano Pride to come back. You start to see this wave of local talent come and want to play for the University of Missouri. And that's all cool, but you still have to succeed. And so for that core group to succeed is awesome because it tells all these incredibly talented kids in the state of Missouri that, hey, not only is it awesome to play for your home state team, but it's also a great place to compete. And I think if you don't have these last couple of years led by Brady Cook, you can't really sell that as well. And Joe, to your point, in an ever-changing collegiate landscape, it's rare that you're able to keep these kids for more than a year, let alone keep your local talent and sell on a dream rather than just, hey, we're going to pay you a ton of cash to come and play at whatever program it may be. So a really unique approach that Mizzou took, maybe a gamble to some people's eyes, but it's paid off so well, especially from our St. Louis perspective, seeing so many St. Louis guys perform so well. Shout out to Toriano Pride for a game-changing interception.
Big time,
as well.
Big time pick on the sideline. Yeah, for sure. And I think you hit it on the head when you talk about not just because let's be honest, obviously Mizzou is going to be able to compete resources wise and maybe not at the highest highs of college football, but they're an SEC program and let nobody tell you that they are lacking for resources. Right. So we know that, but there still has to be, I want to have some success. They're not just going to get paid, but if they can get paid and have some success, that makes a difference.
Oh, it's a huge difference maker. And now they've got the resume to show for it. Essentially, and I already alluded to it, but you talk about those first couple of years under Eli Drinkwitz, you were selling a dream.
Right.
And for me, I'm such a supporter of coaches needing time. This changing landscape in college football, it's tough because you've got to play the transfer portal. And it's not just, hey, give the coach 2 or 3 years to get their recruiting class. And you can't really play that card anymore. But to some degree, you've got to give them time to establish a program. And to Eli Drinkwitz's credit, he has consistently talked about how they are building a program and these are the intangibles that you need in the program and we need to set the standard. He has not gone off that line, though he's used it a lot, I will say. He's not gone off of it. And now he's got 2 years of consistent success that a coach like Gary Pinkel had, who we hold in very, very high regard. He's got that level of success. So now he's got something that, yes, I can sell a dream, but I can also sell reality on top of it.
And attendance is following, and donor money is following, and ultimately those are the things that are also going to spell the end of a coach, even if they are maybe well-liked, maybe having some mild success. But if you're having that success, you're drawing the crowds and then ultimately drawing the money from those crowds, that's what's going to keep you at a place for a while.
And then you're building a whole new north end zone side of the field to surround your awesome lawn with the big rock end, which I'm pumped that they're keeping, by the way. But yeah, that's going to be what continues to sell the future generations coming to Mizzou. And it also says, to your credit, hey, we are in the SEC. We are, in our eyes, the biggest and the baddest, and we need to look the part. Mizzou is really starting to look the part, both on the field and because of that on-field performance in their facilities as well. And their facilities get better year in and year out.
Yeah, there is no question about that. Before I let you go, real quick, thoughts on the Blues, where they are now? Do you feel like you know what this team is as they get set to face not a very good Blackhawks team at the Winter Classic tomorrow?
I think, you know, it's funny, we've been talking kind of circles, but it feels a lot like what we were talking about in Eli Drinkwitz's tenure. I think you've got to feel comfortable in the dream that we're being sold with Jim Montgomery. I mean, you talk about the pedigree of his coaching career, obviously his ties to St. Louis, his love for St. Louis, and then the way they've gone about it. And I think you and I specifically have talked about this, Joe, kind of the correlation between how the Cardinals are approaching a pseudo rebuild, or in some people's eyes, an unwillingness to truly rebuild, and then the way the Blues did it. The Blues were very intentional on, hey, we've got to give up some of our top talent, the Tarasenkos of the world, the O'Reillys of the world, but we know we're going to keep enough to keep maybe that dream alive while fostering some really good young talent on the back end. None of that matters if you don't have the man in charge. And I think they made it very clear Montgomery was the guy they wanted. So I've been an optimist. I will remain an optimist, unless we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. That's a different conversation. I will remain an optimist. I am really intrigued and excited for the future of the Blues. Now, what does that say about Tuesday's game? It's a Winter Classic. The Blues are 2-0 in Winter Classics. I'm just going to ride on that high. Not any high expectations beyond that this season, if I'm being honest.
And do you like the Winter Classic still?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I think the Winter Classic is cool. You got to understand, Joe, that I'm from Brownsville, Texas.
Right.
For any of your listeners out there who don't know where that is on a map, South Padre Island, it's the southernmost landlocked city in the U.S. We didn't know what hockey was. So coming up to St. Louis, getting exposed to it, and one of my very first things I got to cover was a Winter Classic event.
Very cool.
I just think it's a super unique thing. The sport's awesome. The fans, I think the Blues fans are some of the best, if not the best, in the country. It's all in all just a really great, great thing. So I'm all for it.
Well, I kept you a little longer tonight, but I appreciate it. Like I said, I know that there is a ton going on. It's holiday season. I hope it has been a great season for you. And I look forward to seeing what's to come for you as well. But I always appreciate the chance to catch up, man.
Hey, likewise, Joe. Seriously, man. It means a lot. Really excited to chat with you guys. And you guys can always have as much time as you want, all right?
I appreciate it, man. That is good to hear. Daniel Esteva with us here on a Monday night. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. We'll take a break. We'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour on the other side of the break. It is Camo X.